October 23rd, Atascadero City Council meeting, and I would ask you all to take your cell phones and please turn them off or turn them to vibration so we don't interrupt the meeting. And Councilman Sturvett, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Will you join me in the Pledge of the Flag? Ready? Again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. If we could have a roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie? Here. Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Kelly?
Here.
All present.
And if I could have a...
Councilmember Clay, do you see that jogging? I'm very excited about presenting these service awards. We have a spectacular team here at Atascadero, and I really enjoy this opportunity to introduce these people and brag a little bit about what they have going on. Let me tell you first about Charles Dickey from our Community Development Department. He's a building inspector. He's been with us for 5 years. Charles is on the front line of the department, helping to get a number of dormant subdivision projects back under construction. And while out in the field, I think they messed with me on this paragraph, frankly. While out in the field as a building inspector, he's using considerable construction experience to keep projects moving along in the office. And I know all of us have received some great compliments about the work that Charles does. Charles handles the in-house plan review, the expedited plan review on minor permits like systems and swimming pools. He's apparently our photovoltaic expert and has been able to help over 80 systems get permitted in the last 2 years. We're currently processing more than 3 systems a week. Charles, where are you? He stays very busy, and he's also a fellow Laker fan. You going to say something?
We solved that problem by just saying PV.
Charles and the other recipients, if you'll stay around, we'd like to take a group picture when all the awards have been presented.
The next one, Matt Chesson. Matt Chesson's in the police department. Where are you, Matt? He's been with us for 5 years. Come on over, Matt. Matt joined us from Paso Robles, where he was there for 10.5 years. We were very excited to get Matt to come across as a lateral and bring a lot of experience to our organization. Since being with us, he's been promoted to corporal, and he enjoys his role as one of our field training officers. Matt's also the instructor for the taser device, so don't mess with this thing. Matt is a dedicated patrol officer. He's been recognized 3 times by the Mothers Against Drunk Driving for his commitment to DUI enforcement. Matt can be described as a no-nonsense officer. On the other hand, that doesn't diminish his... This next one's one of my favorite employees, Linda Horjese. We pick all these hard words just to see if I could really do it. Administrative Services and Finance, Linda's also been here 5 years. Linda brought a unique set of skills to the finance department because she has experience working in the real estate field, which made her the perfect person to manage our affordable loan program. She works with escrow agents, loan officers, realtors, program applicants, consistently complementing her performance. And certainly through the redevelopment and our in lieu fund issues, Linda has just been an essential part in the program. Linda, as I mentioned, is also my most favorite employee, especially every other Thursday, because Linda is responsible for payroll. And when not preparing payroll, she's working on all of the other programs down there. She's probably the nicest of the nicest people in the nicest department.
That was good.
That's not you, Warren. That's finance.
That was good.
You might also recognize her name, or JC, because her husband, Chris, also works for us in the Public Works Department, been with us since 2006. Linda's a real asset. We just love her down in the department. Come on over here. Well, she's not really a Laker fan. She compliments my Lakers every once in a while. Now, Mark Russo, he's one of our special guys. Mark Russo is in the Public Works Department. He's been with us for 5 years. And since we hired Mark on, he's been one of the true star, all-stars in our Public Works operation. The department has received thank yous, notes and calls and emails. You've seen some on the council desk that specifically refer to the work that Mark's done, especially in the street and drainage area. He's been a really great asset to our organization and a great representative to the Public Works Department. In addition, Mark is a great representative of all of Atascadero. He is the 5-time reigning champion of the Morro Bay Harbor Festival Oyster Eating Contest. I told him his pin should be like an oyster or something. You may have seen him just the other evening on KSBY as he defended his title, eating 45 oysters in 3 minutes. Try that one. Mark has been one of our great hard workers, and her lifelong familiarity with Atascadero and the comfort with technology have made her extremely valuable. All of the welcome to business slides and programs are Lisa, as well as our new Facebook page is Lisa. Lisa serves as the key support person in the city manager's office, supporting not only me, but Jim and Marcia. She also supports the Office of Economic Development and our elected city clerk, and she handles all of our day-to-day personnel filing tasks and personnel file system. Thank you, Lisa, for supporting us. The next is Ellen Perkins. She's been with us for 15 years. Ellen, there's a lot to be said about Ellen. Ellen's clerical career began a number of years ago, and she asked us not to say how many that was. At the University of Minnesota, and wait till she hear her say Minnesota, and that was in the Office of Continuing Education. She also worked at the university's radio station, and Ellen, who's known by many of us is somewhat of a free spirit, then traveled through Europe backpacking with a girlfriend through 16 different countries. Ellen worked for the cities of Santa Barbara and Paso Robles before coming to Atascadero in 1996, where she started part-time, and you may remember she worked in the Community Services Department and ran the whole downstairs of the Rotunda for quite some time. In 2003, following the earthquake, Ellen moved over to the fire department, where she still is today. Ellen's an invaluable member of the fire department. She's the only clerical member of the team. She assists in budgeting, invoice, weed abatement, minutes, phone, and, of course, is the public face of the fire department if you go to Fire Station 1. Ellen, thank you. Say something?
No.
You sure? You could say Minnesota.
I could tell a story, but yeah. You don't have
to. Okay. And now somebody really special to all of us, Marcia Torgerson, who is our city clerk and the assistant to the city manager, has also been with us for 15 years. Marcia joined the city in 1997 as the secretary to the city council, actually the first interview I sat in as I came to Atascadero in 1997. Since then, she's been the heart. You may also remember that she led our efforts in public trust and was recognized statewide for her efforts in that, and was invited to speak at a variety of sessions on the whole process of elections in public trust. Marcia, we're so glad you're part of our team. We can't tell you enough nice things. Thank you very much.
You want to say something?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you, Wade. We on the City Council are very proud of all of our city employees, and we're really proud of the fact that you are the one that hires all of these fine employees for us. But at the same time, the City Council hires two people, one of them being you. And tonight, we want to recognize you for your 15 years of service. And I would like to have Jim Lewis tell us a little bit about you. Jim works with you, with all the other people, and I thought it would be nice for one of your top employees to say a little bit about you.
Thank you, Mayor. Wade came to Atascadero in 1997 from Shafter, California, where he completed a successful tenure as city manager. As Atascadero's city manager, Wade serves as the leader of our staff and is an advisor to you, the City Council. Wade has built a staff culture of teamwork, mutual respect, and entrepreneurial spirit. He is the heart of our business-friendly efforts. Wade is well-liked by the staff and has received strong support and admiration from the executive management team and continues to do so this day. Wade has been a steady force in securing the city's financial position, and through his expertise in strategic planning, he has charted our future. Thank you, Mayor, for that opportunity, and Wade, congratulations on 15 great years.
Thank you, Jim. Wade, if you could come over here. And
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. That's pretty good. Good job, Wade. Glad
you made a
necklace.
We're not done with Wade yet. Big holiday coming up this Sunday. Somebody else is having a birthday, and 2 weeks ago I got celebrated. We can't have a council meeting on Sunday. We want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you
for all
much.
Of us, and if everybody would join in, we'll sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Don't make a recording.
Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to
Young.
Our next presentation will be advanced meter presentation by the Southern California Gas representatives, Tim Mahoney and Scott Lovelace.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of the council and audience. Tim Mahoney with Southern California Gas Company. And I'm here today with Scott Lovelace, who's our advanced meter project manager. So we thought we would give you kind of a brief overview here from my end. We've got a video that can kind of fill you in. It's only 2 minutes long, and then answer any questions you want. In the big picture, you know, we are your natural gas provider in the area. So when you're cooking and you turn on that stove and that burner tip lights up, you know, that's us. When your house gets cold in the wintertime and you flip the thermostat on and that hot air comes out, that's us, and we're always here heating your hot water for residences, business, motels, etc. Probably that maybe has 700 pounds in. in the big picture again, our service territory, we're here in this area. PG&E, of course, does the electricity. We do the natural gas. Up north, PG&E does all of the gas and electricity. Likewise, down south, if you go down there, San Diego Gas and Electric does the gas and electric. In Orange County, we do the gas. They do the electricity. So there's a couple of places in California which are kind of confusing. And I find I like to say this because many times I'll be walking around Atascadero and somebody will think I'm with PG&E or doesn't recognize the gas company because it is slightly confusing in that nature. Our pipes actually stop at Hearst Castle on the coast, that we have got 16 natural gas buses there that take the people from the visitor center up to the castle. We got rid of all the diesel buses there about 10 years ago. The pipe physically stops up here at Camp Roberts. That's our last customer. And as you go north towards Paso Robles, the pipe actually sweeps out and serves the Central Valley. We serve parts of Kings County, Tulare County, a little bit of Fresno County, and all the way down through Bakersfield and up and down the Grapevine into the great L.A. area. So a total of about 20 million customers and nearly 6 million meters in the whole system-wide event. A lot of folks ask me, where does the gas come from here to get to Atascadero in the North County? Well, it actually comes across the border at Blythe through the interstate pipelines, the All-American pipeline, and the El Paso pipeline. They're selling, we're buying right there on the border, comes into our system, and begins to work its way up north through the Ventura County compressor station into our Goleta storage field, and then from there travels up the coast. So that's kind of a quick overview of who we are. In the process of this, we're controlled heavily by the California Public Utilities Commission, of course, Department of Transportation, and several others. And several years ago, when the utility business got deregulated, part of the process to do this was to bring in more technologies, and one of the first lines of defense in the California energy portfolio is energy conservation and resource management of energy conservation. And very proud to say that Atascadero has been a real champion in that field. We have an Energy Watch partnership, which Atascadero and all the cities and the county participate in, and we are moving forward with many plans to get the energy efficiency. One of the things you need to do is give the customer better information so customers can make choices. And part of that is to be able to relay that information to the customer, not like we do it today, which is every 30 days you get your bill, but with modern technology, of course, and the internet, we have websites and portals for every customer if they choose to access it where you can go and get that information. In order for that information to be there on kind of a real-time basis, we have what's known as, we're rolling out as the Advanced Meter Program. And what that is, as you can see up there, it your meter stays the same, everything stays the same, a rate. That's fine. Why don't you run this? Now we'll talk as we go. If it's on, let's do it.
Southern California Gas Company is investing in new meter technology to provide enhanced services for our customers by adding a communication device to all residential and business meters. The advanced meter, which in most cases will be installed on the existing gas meter, will automatically and securely transmit your gas usage to our customer service and billing center. A few weeks prior to your upgrade, we will send you a letter by mail explaining the process. The letter will inform you approximately when the installation is scheduled to take place in your area. In most cases, there will be no interruption to your gas service, and you won't need to be at home for the installation. You only need to provide clear access to the gas meter. When we arrive at your home, one of our technicians will go directly to the gas meter and perform the work. During the process, the installer will add a battery-powered communication device to the natural gas meter. Each day, the advanced meter module will turn on for a fraction of a second to securely transmit your gas usage data. Following the installation, the technician will leave a notice on your door letting you know the meter has been upgraded successfully. Once the advanced meter has been verified, a meter reader will no longer need to access your property to read the meter.
We'll notify you when your gas usage information is available for you to view online. Then, rather than wait for your monthly bill to see how much gas you have used, you'll be able to get that information with just a few clicks of the mouse or swipe of a finger. Within My Account, you'll find a number of helpful new tools to view your hourly gas usage, compare your monthly bills, and set up an action-liable service for over 140 years.
Okay, so back to where I said, one thing the meter, the video didn't say, and thank you for getting that up so well on your IT person there. That I wasn't so sure our little thumb drive was going to operate that smoothly, and it sure did. Okay, so that device operates, and this is really important, 2 minutes, 2 minutes every year. That's how long the signal goes. Four times a day, it's a nanosecond, blink of the eye, your meter hits up and sends a wireless read, and then it goes to sleep. So it only operates 2 minutes a year to do that. It's operated by battery power, and those batteries last 20 years because it only operates 2 minutes a year. So it's a very high-tech, limiting device. It's a one-way read. There's no way anyone from the gas company can shut your gas service off automatically. If you smell gas or hear gas, you still have to go out and turn your own meter off or call us and we'll do it. Now, that's going to be a challenge to folks like myself and Scott because we don't want people to think that just because you get an advanced meter, you don't have to worry about your gas if you smell it. You're still going to have to take precautions like that. You're still going to have to call 811 before you dig so you don't whack a gas line accidentally. So that's what we're all about, and I wanted to ask Scott to just say a few words, and we'll answer any questions, and thank you for your time.
Hi, Scott Loveless. I'll just briefly state that we're here tonight because SoCalGas is just getting started with this project. It's a five-year project. I think, as Tim mentioned, we have 6 million gas meters throughout our service territory that we need to upgrade with that with the module that you see on that picture there. So it's a fairly long and labor-intensive project, but the purpose of tonight is just kind of introduce what we're doing, the topic, and to take any questions that you might have.
What about older meters, real old meters?
Well, we're going to try and not change out any meters because most of the meters are operating efficiently and in good condition. However, if there is an exceptionally old meter and our folks go and when they take off the faceplate and they put the new faceplate on, if they find that meter for some reason, Scott's got a better handle.
Yeah, so one of the main distinctions between what SoCalGas is doing with our system and the PG&E smart meter system is PG&E's smart meter system is set up as a potentially two-way communication. So conceptually, the smart meter could talk to appliances within the house. So you have that two-way read, which means that the system is actually operating on a regular basis. The difference with our system, as Tim indicated, it's strictly a one-way read. The only purpose for this system is to have an automatic gas read four times a day going from the gas meter to our back office for billing. And so as Tim indicated, it's just strictly four times a day. It sends a blip of information of the meter data to one of our collector aggregates the data and sends it to the back office. So the EF, the electric magnetic frequency transmissions is, as Tim indicated, less than 2 minutes, 2 minutes a year. So that's kind of the main difference between our system and, say, the PG&E.
So the rest of the time it's off? Is that what you're saying?
It is. It's off.
I see. Yeah. I was wondering if you could briefly explain the senior program. We get calls all the time about it.
Thanks. I probably should have mentioned that. As well as all the energy efficiency programs we have senior and low-income programs. Probably the best one is the California Alternative Rates for Energy Care Program, and that offers seniors and other folks that are on a predetermined fixed income, basically follows the federal guidelines and the state guidelines. You're eligible And you have to apply. We can get the applications for that. And you're eligible for a 20% discount on your monthly natural gas bill. And if the system works right, which it normally does, eventually, if you're on the Southern California Gas Company care list, we will transfer your data to PG&E, and you'll begin to be registered on their care program as well. So it's a good deal for seniors and others.
I see. Thank you.
Could you explain how the bleep gets to your mainframe?
So each of the meters will be able to send the meter data the four times a day to what we call a data collector unit, or DCU. And the DCUs will be placed throughout our service territory. It's a mesh network, and so these data.
What is your time frame for installing an Atascadero?
So the actual for the meter upgrades are actually later in our schedule. As I indicated, we're just getting started this year. We're doing our first meter upgrades in the southern part of our territory. Actually, next week I think we're actually starting. But we're, as I've indicated, we want to get a head start on the communications early, so that's why we're here. But the actual meter upgrades for Atascadero and this area in general is not until the last part of the schedule, which is 2016. So I believe it's early part of 2016 when we'll actually be upgrading the meters around here.
Yes. Well, thank you for being here. First, a compliment, then a question. But I was very impressed a number of years ago during the earthquake how well all of our local utilities responded and met some real challenges, but particularly the gas company. I know I saw several places where a number of lines, local lines, had to be replaced, two residences, and you guys were right there on the spot efficiently helping folks out. One thing that I was impressed, and I think just some of the recent literature you sent out, was the redundancy you have, or the ability you have to continue to provide gas. If, let's say, if you have a particular problem, you have to make a break in the line, you can actually seal off in a fairly small area and send gas routed through the other end of the pipe, where normally you'd flow in one direction. You could flow in either direction on two sides of a problem. Could you explain a little bit how that works? But that seems like that was a good thinking on your part.
Yes, over time and with good technology, we've been able to do a lot of what we call betterment projects in the area here. And what we want to do is we want to loop the system, if you will, so that there's no dead ends. Because if it's dead end, obviously gas can only flow one way. Whereas when you circularize the pipes, you can change the flow of gas. And earlier I mentioned, like the Ventura compressor station in Goleta. At these locations where we have our compressor stations and the reg stations, that's where we can control the flow of gas. So if we had to, we can bring gas, if you will, the long way to Atascadero. If there was a break in the line over here, say, in where it crosses the Santa Maria River and comes into San Luis County. So if it went down there, you good folks would get your gas the long way. It would cut public streets and the public right-of-way for in cities and the counties as well, with Supervisor Patterson here. We guarantee our street cuts for life on your streets. If we dig up a street and we patch it and that patch fails, 10 years from now, we'll come back and fix it for free. You call us, we'll come right out and do it. If we did a patch 20 years ago in one of your streets, and they're marked with a gas company little silver dot on there, and it fails, we'll come back out and we repatch the streets for free, because we want to be good citizens here. We're like you. We're not going anywhere. The facilities are here, and it's our job to protect things like that. So it's a guaranteed street cut.
If you need any practice, we've got a
There may be some people that prefer to have their meters read. Is there going to be an opt-out option for this?
Yes, good point. If you don't like the advanced meter, customer choice is a good thing. So customers can opt out. It will cost, and I believe it's the same cost as all the other four utilities in the state. And I think it's – let Scott handle it.
I believe it's, and it, I might be off by a little bit, but I believe it's a one-time fee of around $70, and then there's a monthly fee of $10 to $15. I'm not sure exactly, but that's the range.
Thank you.
But and it's something that, like the other utilities, we're working through the California Public Utility Commission, our regulator, who's actually setting what those what the process and opt-out fees are, which the same that they did for PG&E and SoCal Edison.
Well, good. It's good to have options. Thank you.
Jerry?
I understand that we have like 200 years of natural gas, at least in the United States, and it's a wonderful thing, but also it's a dangerous thing. And could you explain, you know, the importance of when you smell whatever you guys put in that stuff, you know what I mean, how important it is to contact you immediately?
Yes, there have been lots of new finds, if you will, worth of natural gas, and the technology to break out the shale oil and the shale gas from Utah, Colorado is feeding the western states. There's a huge find of natural gas in Pennsylvania that's feeding the eastern seaboard. Mm-hmm. So our western gas is not being competed with that side of the market. So the gas price is abundant and the price is very stable. Natural gas in its raw state is odorless and colorless, obviously, and if you're in a very tight room, it will eventually replace the oxygen. So we encourage everybody, if you smell the gas or hear the gas, you know, you hear that hissing sound in the back of your stove, probably means your accordion connector has sprung a leak. You call us, we come out, we fix it for free. You want your pilot light lit this heating season, call the gas company. We will come out and do it for free and check all the appliances, little soap test and all that sort of stuff. So we want to encourage everybody to do that. Free service.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jerry, any other questions? Thank you very much. It was very informative.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you all. Thanks.
Next on the agenda is the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the council or public wishes to comment or ask questions. Is there any item on the consent calendar that a council member wishes to poll? Is there any item on the consent calendar that a member of the public would like to poll? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is updates from the city manager.
Mayor and Council, I wanted to update you on two items. First, the Transit Center. The Transit Center construction is on schedule and going well. I'm sure everybody's seen it right out our back door here. As you can see from the pictures taken today, the concrete flatwork and sidewalks are poured and pavers are being installed. The bus shelters are to be delivered this week, and work on the stamped concrete crosswalks will begin on November 15th through Thanksgiving. Lewis Avenue and Capistrano will be closed to traffic between the junior high and the driveway to Hotel Park while the school is out for the holiday to do the stamped concrete crosswalks. So these next 3 weeks, we'll see the stucco applied to the retaining wall, the shelters erected, and the decorative elements of the project installed. Paving on Capistrano, weather permitting, will be performed that last week of November, and we should be all wrapped up by the beginning of December. The second item, I wanted Police Chief Haley to update you on the new PD Service Area Coordinator Program.
Thank you, Wade. I wanted to give you just a general scenario of what we're trying to accomplish with the Service Area Coordinator Program and then be available to answer any questions you might have. Of course, at the last meeting, Jim Lewis provided just a brief overview of the system that we're hopefully going to be going to in the next couple of weeks, the neighborhood, that will allow increased communication within these defined areas within our city, give us a little bit of ability to communicate with one another. And we're hoping to do the same thing and kind of companion with that piece at the police department. So we've installed within our department a service area coordinator program that will allow people, when they call, to have a direct point of, and under the police department portion of the website, There'll be a block for service area coordinator, and they can see the map of the city laid out, and they can find out who their service area coordinator will be. Be one of the four patrol sergeants assigned to our patrol division currently. And it'll give them the number and contact information for that sergeant, and they can go to that person as their direct point of contact for the problem that they're seeking an answer to, the resolution that they're looking for. And then that sergeant can act as a coordinator to help define the right resource that they need to find the solution. And it might be referring them to another city department, or the sergeant can identify one of our officers or a corporal who will be directed to work with that individual, work with that resident to solve their problem. And so really what we're trying to do is just increase the exposure of our people to the residents of Atascadero and give them an increased ability to see and recognize a face, somebody that they can put a name with a face together and give them a little bit better service. We hope to, in the coming weeks, have a community meeting where we'll have all of those sergeants available for the residents to come in, meet and greet, and then soon after that we'll put their faces on the website so that you can see their name and face together on that site as well. We'll have more information at that informational meeting as well. I mean, we'd encourage people when the information comes out about the time and location for that meeting to take part in that. But I'd be happy to answer any questions that you guys might have as to what we're trying to accomplish here.
So, Chief Haley, if I were to call in as a citizen on your business line, will that still work?
Certainly, the business line will still work. We're not taking away any service that currently exists. And then the important distinction as well is that if our residents have an emergency, we don't want them taking advantage of our service area coordinators for an emergency situation. We'll still encourage them to use 911 and get the fastest service possible through the 911 system. If you do call the non-emergency line, the business line that you're used to calling for non-emergency issues, the dispatcher may, in fact, refer you to the service area coordinator if it looks like it's going to be a problem that's going to require a long-term solution. If it's something simple, though, we'll be glad to help immediately and get you an answer to your question right away.
Thank you.
So if the person is not on duty, how do you handle that? And this is not for an emergency situation. This is for something that...
And can take care of that, too.
Thank you.
It sounds like a real good team approach for community policing, and I really look forward to the implementation of the program. I think it's just another plus for Atascadero. Job well done.
I think so, too, and I'll kind of give a shout-out to Sergeant Greg Meyer, who is responsible for kind of coming up with the idea and coordinating its implementation. He, as well, thinks of it as very much a community policing effort, and that was why he first came forward with the idea.
Jerry, you might give a pitch of what that business telephone number is, so if people do want to make a call, they, you know, if it's not a 911 call, what that number is available for them.
And I have it programmed into my phone like so many other people and can't remember the number without looking at it. So 461-5060.
Okay.
It's button number one on my phone. So 461-5060 is the number for non-emergency calls.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
So the number I call is 461-5051.
5060 will work as well.
Okay.
The same people are going to answer the phone.
I see. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. Let me see. Next on the agenda is the community forum. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes. Pastor Farrell, would you like to approach the podium, please?
Yes, I'm Pastor Tom Farrell from Atascadero Bible Church, representing the Ministerial Association. And it's my privilege to be here this evening. I just want to say congratulations to Wade for 15 years of service. Very much appreciate your service to our community. And with your birthday coming up and the singing again, it's my second time this month to get to hear this city council sing. And, Bob, may I suggest next time you not grab the mic?
I have a long history of that.
just a thought, you know.
Thank you, though. Maybe you could remember me in your prayers.
Again, I don't know that that would help your singing, but we'll
there are miracles.
Let's pray.
That's true.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this community that we live in and the relationships that are represented even in this room and even the recognition of those who've served. It's just an honor to have people who care about their job and do such an excellent job. And the team that's been built here to really service the needs of our community. We love this place. Many of us have been here for a long time, and we're grateful for those so many of our citizens need in an aging population and others that are hurt. And so we're grateful for them and the public works that really do try to ensure our safety and that we can move around this community well. And so we're grateful for all of those people. And we just pray for a real spirit of teamwork and unity that would reign in this community. And that would come and that we would be able to work together for the betterment of this community. And so we commit ourselves to that end and ask, God, that you would just facilitate that as well. And we give you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fine. Thank you very much. Are there any other speakers? Jim, did you want to?
Mayor Kelly, members of the council and staff, my name is Jim Patterson. I'm your 5th District Supervisor, a resident of the Colony of Atascadero, and a member of the Atascadero Colony Days Committee. And I'm here really for two reasons tonight. And I want to lead off with an announcement. This Thursday at the Community Church in Atascadero on Rosario at 7 p.m., I will be leading a discussion on who are the homeless and what are we doing about the homelessness issue in the North County. We'll be showing a short film that articulates some of the homeless population in San Luis Obispo County that was done as part of the last enumeration study a couple of years ago. We'll be showing that short film, and that will be followed by a panel of recently or currently homeless individuals. We will also have representatives from the El Camino Homeless Organization, The Link, North County Connection, Transitions Mental Health Association, and People Self-Help Housing. This event sponsored by the Community Church of Atascadero, the Homeless Services Coalition of the North County, and also the San Luis Obispo Homeless Services Oversight Commission, which Mayor Kelly sits on representing the city of Atascadero. Again, it's this Thursday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Community Church on Rosario. So I wanted to get that announcement out of the way. I gave Ms. Torgerson copies of the fly individuals that I wanted to thank to make you aware of the contributions that they make to help us successfully put on that event. And first and foremost is Marcia Torgerson, who represents the city at our Colony Days Committee meetings. Our parade is a big event. Obviously, you were all there. Chief Haley, I want to thank him, and hopefully you noticed he was there on bicycle patrol during the parade, and we appreciate that. But Sergeant Caleb Davis really helps us, over the past 3 years anyway, really help us organize that parade and make it run successfully. He's a real asset. And it all begins with David Athey of the Public Works Department, Russ's right-hand man and the city engineer who puts the traffic circulation plan together that we use to get our encroachment permit from Caltrans. And we moved, as you all know, 3 years ago, the route of the parade. We had to completely redo our traffic circulation plan. And I think we've got it solved now where it's automatic now with Caltrans. We certainly hope so. But Dave Athey really does a great job for us on that. And also Bob Joslin of the Street Division. They're the ones that put up all the barricades and help us control the traffic during the parade. So I wanted to come and let you all know and thank all of you for the participation of city staff in putting on this annual event. And I also want to mention that in our organization of this year's event, we have been talking about what we will be doing for the centennial in the way of the parade. So we've already begun planning for next year's Colony Days. So thank you. And again, the committee appreciates the participation of the city. We couldn't do it without the contribution of city employees. So thank you.
Well, Jim, we want to thank you. I know you put an awful lot of time into the Colony Days. I know you're out there directing traffic, working really hard, and we really appreciate your efforts. But I'd like to get back to the homeless situation. I know you're the chair of the Homeless Services Oversight Committee, and there are a lot of people on that committee and throughout the whole county, especially in the city here with ECHO, that are working very, very hard for this really serious problem that we have. Not only in Atascadero or San Luis, but all over. And I would encourage people to come to that meeting on that night. This evening, we have no public hearings. Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem,
sorry,
Mr. Mayor.
Brian, I hope everything's okay.
Mr. Mayor and Council, get out your calendars. I'm here to invite you, the staff, and the citizens of Atascadero to three different events. Halloween night, Atascadero Main Street Association, I did not introduce myself. My name is Karen Sturdivant, and I'm here representing the Atascadero Main Street Association. And we are here to invite you to the trick-or-treat event, which will be held on Entrada on Halloween night, which is October 31st. The businesses and several nonprofit organizations are holding a trick-or-treat night. They'll be giving away candy to the children of Atascadero. It's just a gift for the children to come and do trick-or-treating in our downtown area. Also, we have made arrangements so that there will be some food vendors there so that the parents can buy them a little bit of somewhat healthier food before they start eating their candy. So there have been some businesses that are going to be having some options there as well. So that would be October 31st. So bring your children and bring them into the downtown area. In addition, Main
Street... What time, Karen?
That will be from 5:30 to 8:00. And there will be bounce houses and just a variety of other things and lots of candy. And if any of the citizens just want to donate candy also for this, that would be fine as well. Also, Main Street's having an open house, and that will be November 7th from 5:30 to 7:30, and that's going to be at Brew. And we invite you all, and there will be wine and hors d'oeuvres, and we just want to share with you some of the things that Main Street is doing. And last but not least, right following the tree lighting ceremony on November 30th will be our last art and wine tour of the year. Not the last one, but the last one of the year. This is usually our biggest art and wine tour. So after the tree lighting ceremony, come and join us in our downtown for that. Are there any questions?
Yeah, the one in the middle, would you go with that one again? The
second. Sure. One. Sorry, it's our Main Street open house at Brew.
Brew, okay.
So there'll be wine and hors d'oeuvres, and it's being hosted by the Main Street Association.
And the date on that is?
November 7th.
And the time?
5:30 to 7:30.
And if someone would like to drop off candy, where is the best place to do that?
You know, you're welcome to drop it off to me at Rabobank. I'm in the Atascadero Rabobank. I'm sure that Linda at the Chamber would be happy to be another drop-off station. That would be fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fine. Thank you. And
specific agreements that should reflect what you approved a few months ago when you discussed a development fee deferral for the new hotel that has been announced at the Home Depot Center area. And so you'll see we received a request for that deferral, and you approved that on August 14th. Tonight, we're asking you to approve the documents that would actually incorporate the legal language that makes the deferral happen over the next 5 years. And so what is this? Well, we can announce that it's a Marriott Spring Hill Suite. So there's been some conversation. A lot of people in the community wanted to know what that is. It's a very nice Marriott product. Having a flag hotel of Marriott stature, I think, will be a good success for our community. They have a very loyal following. Marriott has the most successful rewards program for the frequent guests, and I think that this will be a good addition for that purpose. So the deal is completed. And approval was received by the Planning Commission last week on a 6-0 vote. And so this project is moving very fast, and I know the project proponents want to submit the specific plans as quick as they can. And so there is a bit about the hotel. What I thought I'd do is try and show some pictures just to remind the community the specifics You have 78,000 square foot of hotel space, 4,700 square foot of exhibit space. We've continued to share with the project proponents that space could be bigger. We believe there's a market for that, and we've shared data with them. As we continue to get it, we'll continue to share that with them, but ultimately that is their decision. The approval from the Planning Commission does allow for larger space, so if they for some reason come back, we anticipated that. If they come back wanting more space, they can do that. And you'll see there's 18,000 square feet of commercial space in Pad B and 10,000 in A. That could be restaurant. That could be related commercial to the hotel. Very good project. You can see in the plan, the pink part of the diagram is the hotel. And you can see right behind that a blue square, which is the pool. And there's a deck, which really has a great view towards Templeton. And that deck is programmable for receptions, events, conferences that can go from the inside to the outside, cocktail parties, et cetera. And you can see the brown pads are the two commercial pads. So I wanted to include some pictures in this of what this looks like. And so based on the submissions we've seen, I think as far as a visual representation of what a Spring Hill Suites look like would be the Spring Hill Suites in Napa Valley. And so you can see here, these are some pictures of the hotel. You can see the drive approach in the top left. You can see a fire pit in that photo on the right that shows the outside. You can see the scale of the hotel, the colors in the bottom left, and the pool area in the bottom right. You can see the lobby has a fireplace, the very comfortable seating, nice colors. You can see the event space to the right. It may not be that big, but it gives you an example of what it could be. And then the breakfast and bar area down in the bottom left. Fee deferral tonight, it's $110,000 is the processing fee, and these are the fees that go for building and planning assistance. These fees are important to be collected because as we incur these costs, these fees need to be in hand. And so the cash in hand for services rendered will be paid. They will not be deferred. The fees that are being deferred are development fees. So this is for park space, additional transportation impact fees, fire station fees, library fees, those sorts of things that are paid to keep the community's use of facilities whole. So as the community grows, development pays into these pots of money that we can then use to expand parks, expand circulation, to make sure that the resident is Helm-Hardless and the quality of life we can continue to enjoy. So that's the type of fee being deferred. It's approximately $620,000. Per the council's direction, the interest rate will be at 0.98%. That was the most recent investment return on the city's investment portfolio as of June 30th, 2012. So that's how that number came to be. There's been some question in the community, why is that number so low? And I think if we look at our interest rates and our rates of return, we'll see that they aren't as high as they were. But I would remind the community and the council that the city's investments are meant to secure the money first. So safety in a municipal agency is key, followed by liquidity, that we have the resources. As a government agency, we spend on capital projects. We have tax in twice a year, so there's a different set of cash flows. We want to make sure that we have our cash available as needed, too. And so our rate of return is a little lower than some may think, because your investment return is to be responsible with the money and have a yield while maintaining a security and liquidity. So that's why that 0.98% interest exists. How this is set up is that there is annual payments every year with the balloon payment in the fifth year. So it's a 10-year amortization, which means if you divide the total of $620,000 divided by 10 plus interest, that's the payment year 1, 2, 3, 4. And then in that fifth year, the balance is due. And so that's how this has been set up. It is secured by a second deed of trust, which is similar to a second mortgage on your home. And so I think that's a very low-risk proposition, because development fees are usually paid in our business-friendly system as you get your final inspection. And so that's when development fees are paid. Well, if we're at the point of a final inspection and fees are actually due, the property has value because it's a completed hotel. And so there is value, I believe, in that position should there be an issue. And as you had directed, there is no prepayment penalty in the documents. And so if the developer wants to pay, that's fine. This is a schedule of what that might look like. There's $24,000 in interest generated. Considerations, again, this is a $20 million project in assessed value that will reflect on our annual property tax deferral agreement and related documents. And I'd like to ask Mark if he wanted to come up and share any thoughts from the developer. We appreciate you coming this evening.
Thank you, Jim. Mayor Kelly, members of the City Council and staff, my name is Mark Hume. As Jim said, I'm a partner and the chief financial officer with Westar Associates. For us, we've owned this land for 12 years, and although Home Depot, Staples, and Starbucks all do extremely well at the center, it's been very difficult for us to attract other retail tenants to the site. So we were very excited when we were approached by Marriott, and they had an interest in this location. We did need to make it economically feasible, and so working out this deferral of fees where we can spread it out rather than paying it all up front really did help us finalize the deal with Marriott. We're very excited, to start our development and operate the hotel. We are mostly shopping center developers. We've been in business for over 30 years. We hold our shopping centers. We don't build them and sell them. We have a leasing and management company. We have partnered with a hotel developer, and he is working on making this an absolute first-class hotel that I think the city can be very proud of. So I just wanted to take my time and come up and say thank you for your consideration on this.
And that concludes our report. Mayor and members of council are both available for questions you may have.
Well, we'd like to thank you, too, for coming to town. Are there any questions of the city council?
Is Marriott going to own the property?
No, we will own it.
I see.
It'll be their flag, though.
So they're your tenant.
All of their training, all of their software systems, they're the operator. We will own the property. We're not selling it.
Is that similar to Home Depot too, or?
No, we did sell that building and land to Home Depot.
I see.
So they own their own building.
Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
By the way, I'm real happy about this. This is great.
Thank you.
One question for you, Mr. Hume.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's okay.
Just based on the size of those other pads that are available, could you tell us what kinds of businesses we could expect to see in them?
You know, we honestly don't at this point. We really haven't gone out to other retailers or restaurants yet. But we would think it would be uses that complement the hotel.
Very good. And do you have a time frame when we could expect to see this hotel up and running?
We're hoping to break ground as soon as we get all the design approved, and we're thinking maybe the first quarter of next year to break
ground.
Very good. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. And one question for you, Jim. You talked about the rate of interest. This is a fixed rate of interest, or this is an adjustable?
Your direction was to have it as a fixed rate.
Okay. Thank you.
And what is the capacity, number of persons that could attend events in the banquet facility you're looking at?
I don't know the answer to that. The hotel developer, originally when we talked about this hotel, it didn't have a banquet facility at all. And based on we came up with Marriott and the hotel developer, and they looked at the surrounding area and saw that there was definitely a need. But honestly, I can't answer that question.
I think we can, based on what you – it's based on occupancies, based on square footage of the site per the code. And Warren will correct me. We believe it's right around 300 or a little over based on the size of the area that you could accommodate. Now, whether tables and chairs and how you set that up changes that, but that is what it would allow. What we've heard and we've shared with them is there's a real need in our county for 500 to 600. It seems that most sites can handle 300, but there's next to him, that hotel down south, I don't want to give advertising, and a place with a lot of horses and carnival rides up north, there really isn't anything in the county that accommodates that size.
Well, I would just echo that, having served as chair of our Economic Vitality Corporation board when we did our regional tourism study, looking at some of the need, and personally, as well as our city, our members of Visitors Conference Bureau and the Central Coast Wedding Professionals, I personally book up for events. We're completely booked for 2013. We are booking for 2014, and there's simply a shortage of venues. Pretty good a number of venues that can handle 250, 300 folks. I've worked with a number of folks looking to do events of 500 or so as a good level. We were able to squeeze that many into our community center, but I think there's a growing demand for that. If you can hit that 500, we'll extend that size.
I will certainly relay those comments.
We're going to work to keep it filled. Thank you.
I think I'd like to add on to that is, you know, maybe before the evening's over, you could meet the two gentlemen from the new promotion department, and you guys could sit down, and maybe you guys could relate what our program is to support businesses like you. We're spending, you know, quite a bit of money to promote the town, and we hope we know it'll work out. That's why we're doing it. Thank you, Brian?
I just wanted to say that it looks like a very good project, and it's a very good opportunity for us to work together. It's a great opportunity for both your company and our city. So we're excited to have you, and looking forward to going forward.
We appreciate the help. Thank you very much.
Thank you. With that, I'll open it up to public comment. Seeing no public comment, I'll close that portion of the meeting, bring it back to the City Council for a discussion or a motion.
Well, Mayor Kelly, I don't know there's much discussion. I was going to suggest you take that rare mayoral opportunity and make the motion yourself, since you were instrumental in working with this hotel.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, thank you, Tom, but it's all of us on the City Council that work together to make these projects come together.
That's
but thank you.
True.
But I would like to make the recommendation that the council approve the agreement and related documents deferring payment of development fees over a period of 5 years for construction of 130-room suites hotel and banquet facility at the Home Depot Center.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley.
Yes.
Mayor Kelly.
Yes.
5-0 motion passes.
And thank you, Tom, for that. I appreciate it. Moving on to the next item is the public relations and marketing program. Wayne?
Mayor and Council, to continue on the same vein of really exciting news, I want to talk about our public relations and marketing program. The City Council, as we all know, is developing a new and expanded public relations and marketing program. We approve the request, or you approve the request for approval, a request for proposals in August, and we received 14 proposals from firms across California. The proposals were screened by 7 industry experts, and the top 4 firms were invited to an interview last week. The joint proposal of Mental Marketing and TJA Advertising was unanimously recommended. We're unanimously recommending that to you. Their keen knowledge of North County, and some of them live right here in Atascadero. Following the council's approval tonight, if that's what you choose to do, based on staff's recommendation, we'll immediately proceed to build the marketing plan. In fact, we already have meetings scheduled. The consultant will interview each of you, as well as our key tourism partners, and synthesize the information to bring back to another joint study session where we'll make sure that the message we've received and the consultant received is consistent with where you want to go and begin the framework of the new Atascadero program. We're truly excited about this opportunity. Mental marketing has proven in statewide programs and certainly in the North County here, the quality of the product they bring. This is the firm that I had spoke to you midsummer, that I'd gone to a presentation, was very impressed with how they were marketing our area. So we're very excited to have them on board. We're asking tonight that you authorize the city manager to complete and execute the contract with Mental Marketing and TJ Advertising. And we'll begin our new public relations and marketing program on schedule November 1st, like we had hoped.
Great. Thank you. Gentlemen, would you like to say anything?
Sure.
Great.
They're marketing guys. Of course they're going to say something. It's like asking an elected official if they want to say something.
Right.
Well, thank you very much. We didn't really have a statement prepared today, but my name is Mark Elterman. I'm the CEO of Mental Marketing. Wanted to thank the council and the city staff for considering us for this project. As city manager had mentioned, we do have extensive experience in all aspect of destination-based marketing and branding. Quite a bit of expertise in terms of lodging. experience over the past several years, and we are truly ingrained in the community, and we're very excited about the opportunity to work very closely with all members of council, working very closely as well with the stakeholders of this community that are a critical component of establishing a differentiable message. And then from there, coming up with a plan that we know is going to be successful. We're very excited about the opportunity, and we look forward to really answering any questions that anybody may have and get started. This is a very exciting time for Atascadero. We're looking forward to be at the cusp of greatness. Sloan, who is also going to be working very closely with the city staff as well, and I'll get you Paul's number as well. 805-835-7747. And always by email, mark@mentalmarketing.com and Paul at.
Actually, P. Sloan.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, P. Sloan at mentalmarketing.com. Now, one area of clarification, we do have an additional agency partner in this relationship, and that is John Sorgenfrey with TJA Advertising. We partnered with another area agency that we have a terrific relationship with in destination marketing. And TJA Advertising has handled, for instance, all of the destination marketing for Pismo Beach for the past 15 years and has a number of incredible relationships, particularly with the media, that can be very instrumental for the city, for the colony of Atascadero to leverage. And we've had a very successful relationship together with TJA for well over a year now with the County of San Luis Obispo as well as the unincorporated regions of the county. So John couldn't make it today, but he's also very excited to be involved in this project.
Well, thank you. Any other questions?
Okay.
No? A question. Do you promote anything for other than public facilities like ourselves?
Yes.
Do you do wineries? Do you do what?
We sure do. We are a full service agency, public relations, branding, interactive, advertising. Our clients really span the gamut from destinations to individual hoteliers to retail to business to business type initiatives, telecom. Oh gosh, we're really across the board. While we have a peculiar expertise in destination, we have a team literally all over the country that we turn to for specific executions, whether that be an interactive program for a technology company, for a retail firm. We do a lot of work with, I don't know if you're familiar with some of the olive oil businesses around town, We Olive, which is a franchised-based, very fast-growing olive oil retailer, handling their branding and their franchising throughout California. So really runs the game. Like Paula and myself and Bill Stansfield, we grew up here. We're very fortunate to have grown up here, gone to school here, and actually left and pursued our business elsewhere. Working in major markets of New York and Denver and Los Angeles in the agency capacity. And so, like many folks that, you know, move away from the area and do well, you can't ask for more than to come back here and serve your community. So we're very, very fortunate over the past 7-8 years to have been able to do that. And so that's why we're extremely excited about the opportunity.
Well, thank you, and give it the devil, okay?
Absolutely. We'll look forward to getting together with all of you.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Well, we're not done yet. Step right on back. Well, we certainly agree that we need to think regional tourism. Our competition is not each other as establishments or even city to city. It's our county versus other counties in terms of marketing and how we've been outspent in the past. And that's something we certainly understand. We need to work with our sister cities. And I think it is an interesting partnership in that TJA. I've seen their work with PISMO over the years, and I think you've worked closely with PASO, and now both together you're going to work with Atascadero. But there's a plus and a minus in that. We're going to focus on regional, but a lot of folks ask, well, now how is Atascadero going to fare with a piece of the pie? And I think your partnership is the same model you're using with the Visitors Conference Bureau. You two are partnering with them, and I think it is a plus for us. We're going to be a micro set of that, and same model with the county. But could you tell us what you would differentiate for us compared to others? And I know you're going to work with stakeholders and identify and see our strategic strong points, but how would you approach to make sure we get our fair share, would you say?
Sure. It's an excellent question, because every destination, particularly in this county, has its individual local brand to establish, you know, your message. And gaining clarity of that message is everything, right? So really our task before us is to figure out what that message is and how that's going to resonate in such a way for the next 100 levels, to leverage the efforts of the county in such a way that you can maximize your spend in terms of awareness while still being able to distinguish Atascadero and the colony based on all of the unique experiences that you have. So big picture, now I'm not trying to create a prescription yet because we haven't really done the diagnosis fully. The overall prescription is, look, let's figure out who is going to come here and stay here and keep coming and staying here. And then let's also make sure that we continue to tell the story. Marketing is now all about telling stories of unique experiences, right? So Atascadero has very specific and unique experiences. Well, the vast majority of folks, even in California, have no idea what they are. So let's identify those experiences. Let's begin to tell the story, and then use the countywide assets, if you will, or even the Paso Robles or the wine assets as channels to get those stories out there. So that's sort of the big picture roundabout way of answering that question. I hope I answered it, but I'm not quite sure.
Well, we're going to have lots of time to answer that, and I think we do see a lot of destination potential for ourselves in terms of we are authentic. Yeah,
absolutely.
You can't get more authentic than Jerry Clay, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But we're looking forward to our centennial year, that City Hall, which will rival Hearst Castle.
That's
we have the only zoo. We are family-friendly. We have a range of experiences, so I think you're right on track. So
exactly. And if I may add to it, not to belabor it, but the fact is we handle clients, particularly in destination, not just on a retail basis, but a business basis. And so in the discussion about event space, I couldn't agree with you more. We are very intimately involved in not just marketing a destination, but actually bringing groups to this area. And we've been face-to-face with groups and meeting planners and event planners for years. And so we understand those needs. And in marketing a destination, having that right event portfolio and space is critically important.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I know not having our prescription, you know, at this point, you know, fine-tuned and those kind of things and the stories that we need to get out, when you're looking at our budget that we have set aside.
Important, we think, to really leverage the partnerships that are available to you throughout the county.
Thank you.
People and money comes into our area, what do you estimate? How many times does that turn over?
We don't have an economic impact study for that in this particular area at this time, but it is something that I think would be very valuable, because when you look at, say, the efforts of a marketing effort in a particular area, you tend to evaluate it based on TOT growth, right? And so, you know, when you spend, say, $100,000 to $200,000 in an area with the expectation that you get enough awareness that
you know, there are some models that say, look, you get enough awareness, enough click-throughs to the website, enough people attending events, that you will see an uptick in TOT revenue. We have not done an impact study specifically on the retail sales associated with that. Our focus in the past has been primarily focused on the TOTS.
So there's no industry standard, No. If a dollar comes in?
None that I know of, but I do know that the closest model for that has been done by the EVC.
I said, right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that we do look at quite closely when we're talking about destination investment. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'd just like to add that Mrs. Fonzie and myself were part of the interview team, and I probably could speak for Mrs. Fonzie. We were both very, very impressed by your company, and not only the two of you, but your whole complete team. And just like you stated earlier, that you guys have got connections all around. I'm really looking forward to getting the program kicked off and going, so I want to thank you.
Well, thank you, and likewise, we were very, very impressed with your entire process and the evaluation team. And we've gone through this a lot.
I have one other question.
Yeah.
I got one other question.
Yeah.
How many employees are in your organization?
Well, now we have, by any measure, about 14.
14, I see. Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right.
Very much.
Thank you.
I'll open it up for a public comment. If there's anyone that would like to comment, seeing no one approach the podium, I'll bring it back to the council for a motion or discussion.
I'd like to have a little discussion before
sure.
we make the motion. Now, one of the questions that I've had from members of the public and even some of the city staff is what...
This is in business practices. I know ever since I've been in business, you have to spend money to make money. You hope to spend money and get a greater return on what you've spent, and I think this is a program that's going to promote the city, and it's going to help all of the small businesses, the big businesses, the city, everybody. So I think it's money well spent, and it's going to be a benefit to our city.
Well, you know, TOT is fine, but I think there's certainly a spinoff where, if people come and stay, they do other things,
right.
You know what
yes.
I mean? And there's a sales tax spinoff, and
right. Correct.
And that money turns over, so I look at it a little different, I guess, yeah.
And part of the program is, like Tom mentioned earlier, it's going to be a cooperation with other cities, so, people that stay in Morro Bay are going to know about Atascadero and what have you, and hopefully it's all going to blend together, and I think it's going to be very, very successful. Otherwise, I wouldn't be up for spending the money on the deal. So I'd like to bring it back to the council if there's no further discussion for a motion.
Sure. I agree with you, and I think there's actually a pretty high multiplier on this in looking at in the impact on retail sales, because I think if you look at each event, I know you just look at one wedding, you might have so much for a venue, but then you look at the caterer, the photographer, the restaurants involved, it's a pretty high amount going to other local businesses. So I think I think we can track it, and we can work on partnering with some other folks that have a real interest in quantifying this. So I think I look forward to that. But in any case, I move we adopt staff's recommendation.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Excuse me. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Welcome aboard, guys. Next on the agenda is council announcements and reports. Do we have any council announcements or reports?
Well, I would make a couple of brief ones. I did want to compliment the water company. Again, another successful garden tour, and that was a great experience. But even more interesting, we did host the Consortium of California Historical Societies this last weekend, and they came down to get a great tour put together by our city staff. Rochelle and Bernards did a very good job of showing them our future city hall, and they are very much impressed. I was involved with having them tour another local site and providing them dinner and getting involved with them and talk history to share.
Right. I think Lon Allen mentioned that there were 70 people that came to town and stayed at the Carlton Hotel. So this is, part of the promotion program, getting the word out, and I look at it to expand and even get better.
Yes.
Any other thing, Tom? Okay, thank you.
I would just like to congratulate a member of the council for being part of their Colony Days King, and also his lovely wife Peggy as Queen of Colony Days.
We have a lot of fun in Tent City with historic recreations, and it was an honor to serve as King and Queen for this year, following Councilman Clay, who served as Grand Marshal of years past.
Yes. It was a great time, and I think I'd like to comment, you know, Jerry and I were on the back of the fire truck again, and I think we had a lot more people on the parade route this year. And what was really nice, though, is the really positive reception that we got as being the city council members on the fire truck. There were a lot of people applauding and telling what a good job that we're doing, and we really appreciate that because we all truly try very hard to do a good job.
Actually, Brian was scorched in the, between you and I.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I thought it was pretty positive that there was no tomatoes or lettuce thrown at us, so I took that as a positive sign.
No, he's like he had a real old boy and a guy trying to be an old boy next to him.
You know, I'd like to say something about Colony Days. The work that goes into it is amazing. The work that goes into Tent City is absolutely amazing. There was like 40 people there, and can you imagine they put that up and the time they spend, and then like in 5 hours it's over with, and they got to tear it down and they got to store all that stuff. I mean, it's amazing. I thought it was a great Colony Days. A large crowd. The parade, you know, was the entries were unbelievable. There was all kinds of them, and I thought it was just great. I just, you know, it's too bad it can't go on a little longer. But, you know, when you think about it with the 4th of July celebration, when you're there about 3 hours, or, you know, 2 or 3 hours, well, you kind of spent yourself, especially if you got kids. So, but great Colony Days, and just kudos for everybody that, you know, the Colony Day Committee and everybody that worked on it, and particularly Tent City. That was unbelievable.
Great. Thank you.
And one other, I don't want to forget the Dogtoberfest, which was the wiener dog races. And I heard that they had raised actually $5,000 to expand the dog park.
Great.
So a volunteer effort that's doing very well.
Roberta, you couldn't get near that place, honestly. I mean, out at the lake, it was packed. It was packed, and it was unbelievable.
And we did pick some wieners.
Okay, Jerry.
I encourage people to keep eating at our local restaurants. And Joe Domenico and I, the nicest guy in town, we had a meal at El Compadre's, and there's some great hamburgers in Atascadero, but you got to try El Compadre. It's a Mexican restaurant, but wow, they make a heck of a hamburger. And Joe had an enchilada, and he loved it. So let's keep eating at our restaurants, folks. Spending dollars in town, that's important.
Great, thank you. Now we'll have individual determination or action. Is any member of the staff have anything that they would like to say?
No report.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll adjourn the city council meeting, and we'll move into closed session at this time.